Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This week, God Loves Uganda. That's the name of a new feature-length documentary film about the influence of U.S.-based evangelical Christian missionaries who've been whipping up anti-gay religious fervor in Uganda for many years. Uganda's parliament is still considering a proposed anti-homosexuality bill, and even though the death penalty has been removed from it, the bill is not dead and, if passed, would still be one of the most punitive anti-gay measures in the world. The link that God Loves Uganda shows between religious extremists in this country and the virulent homophobia in Uganda is chilling, creepy, and frightening. So a lot of my friends said, you're going to do a live show on Halloween. Well, as far as I'm concerned, this is very scary material. Halloween's appropriate. God Loves Uganda premiered at Sundance this year and has played at several other film festivals. It opens for a theatrical run in San Francisco this Friday at the Roxy Theater and at the Elmwood in Berkeley. The film's producer and director is the first African-American to win an Oscar for directing and producing a film, his 2010 short documentary Music by Prudence, and he's won numerous other awards for his nonfiction programming for cable and television networks. Roger Ross Williams, director and producer of God Loves Uganda, welcome to Out in the Bay.
It's great to be here.
So, Roger, to make this film, you went to Uganda and to Kansas City, Missouri, where the International House of Prayer, IHOP, is based. I definitely want to hear about your experiences in both places, but first I want our listeners to hear the trailer. We'll hear some film clips a little bit later, too. Before we play the trailer, since we can't see the images on radio, help set it up for us. Who are we hearing from in this trailer? I think it's the same voice in the beginning of the film. There's a guy who talks about this dangerous fire spreading through Uganda.
Yeah, that's Kapia Kayoma. And Kapia is a from Zambia, and he's a priest who was undercover in Uganda investigating the Christian right. And he works for Public Research Associates in Boston. And he had to flee Uganda, and now he's living in Boston.
And that's who we hear from first in this trailer. There's some other voices after we hear that we can...
You're going to hear Lou Engel. Lou Engel is one of the senior leaders at the International House of Prayer. Lou is the head of The Call. The Call does huge prayer rallies to fight against homosexuality, abortion, and the threat of Islam.
Okay, so let's hear the trailer.
Something frightening is happening in Uganda.
I foresee a lot of death. The fire has already been set, and I think it is important to trace it back to where it is coming from.
Well, the International House of Prayer began in 1999. We have about 1,000 full-time staff.
We are called to be a missionary people. I believe the Lord is calling me to pray for a great missionary force. America's not yet done sending her sons and daughters to bring the gospel to the nations.
Most of these young people, it's a time to have an adventure. But the poor African listening to them think that's how things should be.
The Bible say, okay, all sex outside of marriage is wrong. So adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong, acts of homosexuality are wrong.
Homosexuality does not benefit the society.
It's sin.
Are you ready for Jesus?
We do not fight Sodom because of who they are, but what they do.
The controversial bill proposed death sentence for homosexuality.
The law says no homosexual in this nation. It's an abomination to God.
The Americans, when they preach hate here, they forget that they are preaching to people who will just take the law into their hands.
That God wants the righteous to rule.
See what I said? Creepy.
Yes.
So, that sound from the trailer for God Loves Uganda, a feature-length documentary opening in San Francisco's Roxy Theater tomorrow night, Friday, November 1st, for a one-week run, perhaps longer if attendance is strong, and will also be opening tomorrow night at the Elmwood in Berkeley. You're listening to Out on the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Roger Ross Williams, God Loves Uganda's director and producer. So we heard from Lou Engel and Kapio Kaoma. And in that film, we also heard from a few others. This guy who was talking about the International House of Prayer.
That's John O'Hall, the media director from the International House
of
Prayer.
How many thousand staff of how much?
So the International House of Prayer has a $30 million a year operating budget and a staff of 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. It's a massive operation, but it's not, you know, by no means. There are bigger churches than that.
Right, sure. But it's still pretty big. So, and you look at this scenery from Kansas City, Missouri in your film, and actually I have a friend who's from Kansas City. He's like, oh, yeah, it looks like it's in a shopping mall.
It's in a series of shopping malls. There's about three shopping malls. Actually, they bought a whole mall, which is IHOP U. Mm-hmm. Then there's another strip mall, which is where the prayer room is, a bookstore, real estate agent. They kind of own this sort of whole town.
So it's a big complex, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And so and your film actually spends a lot more time with them than with the you know, the gay positive folks. Is it like kind of, you're trying to get an idea, a window into how they operate, right?
Absolutely. That was my, you know, this is a film about faith and about the two sides of faith. The sides that the like Kapia Kaoma and Bishop Christopher Sinyanjo, who's a Ugandan, he's a Ugandan bishop who believes the church is open to everyone, and the IHOP and Lou Engel and Scott Lively, the American side, who believe that you know, the church is not open to what they perceive as sinners.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what was your impression of these young people, like missionaries? They talk about the sort of we're gonna fight this war not with swords but with an army of faith. I've got the words wrong, but
yeah, I mean, they're, you know, they called spiritual warfare. They're nice kids. They're naive. They're impressionable. They're young, and they're drawn into IHOP. You know, the leader and founder of IHOP, Mike Bickle, he said, you know, we draw them in because of the music. There's like a 10-piece Christian rock band that plays 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, round the clock. It hasn't stopped playing for 13 years. Thousands of musicians. So you go into this.
You mean they just come in and swap out?
They never stop playing.
Wow.
So you go to this prayer room. It has all the flags and has a big map of the world behind, and you pray for the nations and you pray for the people of the earth. And it's very like intoxicating. I get in there and I'm like, I kind of fall into a trance. I say, I could get into this. I understand why it can draw you in, especially if you have problems. If you had problems with drugs, there's armed guards with guns everywhere. And I asked Jono, why are there armed guards with guns in the church everywhere? He goes, well, because you never know if someone might just snap, you know, because people are speaking in tongues. It's very intense. It's all young people.
Yeah.
And a lot of them look like they've had, you know,
maybe some trouble in their lives in the past.
So they found this sort of sense of community and belonging.
Right. Sure. So what made you make this movie, God Loves Uganda? What brought you to it?
I grew up in the church. I come from a family of ministers. My father, my sister, my uncles, you know, we have a family mega church in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. That's where Pennsylvania is where you grew up?
Yeah.
Rural or city?
It's an industrial town, a city, Easton, Pennsylvania. And but I grew up singing in the gospel choir in church. But in church, I never felt part of the community as a gay man. It was a church that was not accepting of homosexuality. It was a non-affirming church. So I always felt like I was part of it, but wasn't really part of it. So when I heard about what was going on in Uganda, I was obviously drawn to it for those reasons. And I wanted to explore the people who hated me the most, the people who hated me so much that they wanted to see me dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what kinds of fears did you have? People have been killed in Uganda for being gay and for speaking out on behalf of others. So how risky was it for you to go there and make this film?
Well, when I was in Uganda, I was undercover. I wasn't going to tell people. I'm following pastors who hold the Bible up and say, this book says these people must be killed. Pastors who were forming militias because they said the government wasn't moving fast enough and they had to go out and kill the gays themselves. These are pastors. And I'm following them and filming them. And of course, I wasn't going to come out to them. So, but I did get outed while I was there. Someone sent an email to one of the pastors and they invited me to dinner. And it was like, I knew it was an ambush. I was like, it felt it felt really uncomfortable, and they pulled out this email and they said, "We know you're a homosexual." And I thought, "That's it. I'm dead. They're going to kill me." Mm-hmm. But they said, "But we've Googled you, and we've seen that you're kind of well known in America, and you've won an Academy Award and everything. So we're going to actually cure you."
Oh, okay.
So they surrounded me and they started laying hands and started praying for me, and I just went with it.
Uh-huh. I guess that was probably a wise choice in that situation.
Yes, it was.
Wow. So I want to hear from this a little bit more from Lou Engel. So one of their chief motivators of missionaries from Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, is Lou Engel. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Lou is probably one of the leaders of the this sort of new charismatic movement, sort of some people call it dominionism, and it's a movement where they believe that Christians have the right to rule the world over, and that's also ruling over Christians and non-Christians. And Lou, you can see Lou on YouTube praying with Michelle Bachmann to end Obamacare. You can see Lou has been the spiritual advisor to Newt Gingrich, to many candidates. He, Governor Rick Perry in Texas, he threw his big prayer rally that got a lot of attention during the Republican primaries. Lou's very active behind the scenes. And he is a warrior. He's not afraid to say what others are afraid to say in public. And his battle is to fight sin, to fight the evil of homosexuality and the evil of Islam and the evil of abortion.
So in this clip that we're going to hear, we can't see this, but at one point he gets called in to work on California's Prop 8 campaign. And he's giving this kind of sermon about Pro Prop 8 at this big San Diego baseball stadium or football stadium?
It's a
huge stadium seating, 30,000 people or something.
There's
like
about
that.
35,000, 40,000 people.
Okay,
there.
So anyway, so let's hear this. This is from the clip from God Loves Uganda. Lou Engel tells how he'd gotten a phone call from California's Proposition 8 proponents asking him to help their campaign against gay marriage in 2008.
And they said, we realize, Lou, that this is that what we're doing is actually a political dimension, but what you bring is prayer. And so I came in and we had a solemn assembly in San Diego, 33,000, cried out to God, have the whole world pray for this, which is going on today in California, because what happens in California will release a spirit that is more demonic than Islam, a spirit of lawlessness and anarchy, and a sexual insanity will be unleashed into the earth. We beg you, pray for California elections. Pray that God would break in with yes on 8.
Opponents of California's ballot measure banning same-sex marriages state the reason the measure passed by a slim margin was because of conservative churches from out of state's campaign to intrude on the lives of gay couples.
There is a hill above Capitol Hill. There is a government above the governments of men. Now, I don't believe we should have a theocracy where the church rules a nation. I do believe that God has foundational laws by which he set into the universe and expects governmental leaders to uphold natural and spiritual law.
Wow. So that's Lou Engel. And this one phrase really sticks with me. There's a many in there, a hill above the hill, and this more demonic than Islam. Wow. Okay.
Yes. So Islam must be really demonic.
Yeah.
So, but it's more demonic than Islam.
Even gay stuff is more demonic than Islam.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So you also, there's a part where it mentions about why Uganda? Why is it Uganda they're focused on? There's a part that mentions that Uganda is the pearl of Africa. Is that their term for it?
No, that was Winston Churchill's term. But it's Uganda because Uganda was a perfect storm for the evangelical community in America. They were feeling frustrated that they were losing the cultural war here at home, you know, and especially now they're really feeling frustrated as marriage equality keeps getting, you know, state by state. But Uganda was a perfect storm because it had Idi Amin. Idi Amin was a Muslim. He outlawed evangelical Christianity. It was wiped out by civil war, and it had the highest AIDS rate, so it was wiped out by AIDS. It has the youngest population on the planet because of that reason. So the median age is 15. So they came in.
I heard that in the film. I was like, did I hear that right? I didn't go back and rewind, but they said more than half of the population is under 15 years old.
So what Mike Bickle, the founder of IHOP, told me in his interview, he was there on the ground the day Idi Amin fell with a bunch of Christian leaders there to take that, as he said, bullets flying over his head, there to take Uganda as a Christian nation. So they can mold this nation, build schools and hospitals and do a lot of great work. But they can mold this nation in their own image and create, you know, a Christian nation.
So, yeah, I actually that leads perfectly into this next clip I want to play. Okay, we'll just play this, and I'm going to ask him some questions about it later. But this is another clip from the film. And this is, again, Reverend Kapia
Kayoma.
Kayoma, thank you. Kayoma, talking about the IHOP, the International House of Prayer, and how it and other evangelical organizations rushed in to fill the vacuum after Idi Amin was removed from power in Uganda.
The International House of Prayer is part of this global phenomenon, with thousands of churches across the United States. But this movement also has churches across the world, mostly in Africa.
They believe that they have a God-given mandate to rule the world, to rule all spheres of society, not just in religious circles, but in politics, in business, in entertainment, in education, in everything you might think about. They want to see themselves to be the authorities. In case of Uganda, which claim to be a Christian nation, that becomes the good place to start with this biblical law.
When Idi Amin was removed from Uganda, there was a vacuum. And American evangelicals saw this as an opportunity, and they seized it. They built big churches across Uganda, Christian universities, schools, healthcare, orphanages. But behind these activities is their Christian ethos. For American conservatives, Uganda became the testing space for their ideologies.
That's a scene from God Loves Uganda, a feature-length documentary opening tomorrow night. That's Friday, November 1st, in the Roxy Theater in San Francisco and at the Elmwood on College Avenue in Berkeley. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is God Loves Uganda's director and producer, Roger Ross Williams. Now, in that clip, you know, these organizations are building schools and orphanages and healthcare, providing healthcare. So I'm wondering, what's your impression of why the Ugandas are so are they pulled in because they need the resources so badly, or are they also really somehow I think there's some clip in the film, somebody says something about, you know, these young white people are coming and for some reason they're believable.
Yeah.
I would think they would not reject it as Western foreigners that shouldn't be involved with them.
No, you have to realize that America wasn't the colonialist power. It was Britain. And America represents wealth and America's cool. You know, America, Hollywood does an amazing job of, you know, selling America to the rest of the world as this just like, so what these kids represent is money and wealth and everything that America represents. So they have incredible power. So they can come in, you see like a 20-year-old girl speaking to a woman three times her age, telling her what she should, not even bothering to ask her what her beliefs are or mm-hmm. what her traditional values are, just coming in and saying, this is what you need to do. And she feels, and that girl feels privileged to do that. And the woman listens to her because of what she represents.
Well, you know, there's this one scene in the village. I don't know if this is what you're referring to exactly, but, you know, there's this older woman. I can't tell from her expression if she's like, I'm just going to believe whatever you say because I'm a little bit coerced by this, a little psychologically coerced by it, or if she's really like, wow, if it works for you, then maybe it can work for me. If I find God, I'm going to be rich too.
Yeah, I mean, the prosperity gospel is alive and well in Africa, and you see the wealthiest religion is big business. So the wealthiest people in Uganda are pastors, and they have big houses and private jets and, you know, fancy cars, and they flash all that because it's like people are poor, people are sick, and if, and they say, follow us. Do what we say, and you will, you won't suffer anymore. And if you suffer, then you won't suffer in the afterlife.
So the big cash that these heads of these churches have, and they, that the wealth that they flash around, is not just for their own personal pleasure. In a sense, it's also they use it as a tool to build followers,
to build huge, massive congregations. Kayanja, Robert Kayanja, who's in my film, who's the wealthiest pastor, fifth wealthiest man in Uganda, massive congregation of 10,000-15,000 people in his church, and 3,000 satellite churches. He throws huge rallies. Where he's a healer, and he was trained in the American, he was trained by Americans in the American tradition of faith healing.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask you, so what was your impression of Uganda itself? You, for Music by Prudence, you'd been to
Zimbabwe. Yeah.
And that was the first time you'd been to Africa. Could you, tell me a little bit about your impressions of both countries.
Yeah. Well, Zimbabwe used to be the breadbasket of Africa, and it's like South Africa, and people often say South Africa is not really Africa. It's like, you know, they call it the gateway to Africa because it's so developed. And Zimbabwe used to be really developed until Mugabe came in and, you know, destroyed that. But when I got to Uganda, I was like, now I'm really in Africa. Mm-hmm. It just feels like Africa. It's like you're in East Africa. It has much less development than, you know, South Africa. So there's a sense of there's a church on every corner, which is really people are praying all night. It's a very religious country. People are deeply, deeply, deeply spiritual and religious.
How long has that been the case?
I think that's Africa in general. I think that's Africans. But I think that Uganda, they've had a couple of Christian revivals. But this is a new revival happening around Pentecostal charismatic Christianity, which is growing. And the Church of Uganda, which was the Anglican Church and the Catholic, those traditional churches are shrinking while everyone goes to the church where they can speak in tongues and sing and dance. And it's all, so you hear singing and dancing and clapping and everywhere.
So that's the fun part. That's what brings people in.
That brings people in.
Yeah. So I have to make sure I mention this before. I just hope this is not a spoiler or anything. But, you know, both Lou Engel in the film and this woman, Reverend Joanna Watson, they both kind of like at some point, like he fesses up that he had been involved or been addicted, I think is the word he used, addicted to pornography when he was younger. And she kind of fesses up to like, yeah, I was attracted to women and I had to, you know, have God help me through that. So do you get a sense that there's a lot of, I don't know, repressed homosexuals within this evangelical movement?
Absolutely. You know, so they call it at IHOP, they call this sexual brokenness. And they have a division of the church to help people fight sexual brokenness. And when you go in the bookstore, there's a couple of shelves of books, of ex-gay books, how to survive homosexuality. So when I was outed, Joanna and I went to lunch and she handed me a book. And it was a book by an ex-gay, and she said, this is a very good friend of mine from IHOP. He's part of the ministry at IHOP, and he's an ex-gay, and he can help you with your... And she said, and she goes, and I have something to tell you. She's like, she said, I was attracted to women, and I've overcome those feelings, and you can too.
So that's what she said on tape, or she said this
she said
to you,
this
and then later
me,
you
and then
you
I and I said,
again,
well, will you
say
it on camera? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I said, if you really believe that, then this is your testimony. Say it on camera. Tell the world.
Yeah.
And she was like, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that a lot of us, you know.
And she's obviously cured. it can be done.
You know, this is always the case that the people who, you know, protest the loudest, the people who are the most anti-gay, you always find out they're gay, right?
Right, right, right. Like the folks in Colorado, his name is escaping me right now. But yeah, there's so many of them.
Lou Engel's best friend. Ted Haggard.
Uh-huh.
He was
right.
Lou Engel's best friend.
Did they use the same massage therapist who sold them drugs? Or?
No comment.
Okay. Okay, we've only got a few minutes left. What are you doing? What are you working on now?
I'm working on a couple things. I'm working on, I just came back from South Africa where I just finished filming with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, doing a short film on him, which is an amazing man, who says that the fight for LGBTI rights in Africa is as important as ending apartheid to him.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really. And he also said, if a God is homophobic, he'd rather be in hell. He said, if there's a homophobic heaven, he'd rather be in hell.
Wow. Well, that's nice to have that kind of support.
Yes.
What's your impression of how things are going to pan out in Uganda from this point or the rest, other places in Africa?
Nigeria just passed a similar bill. So, while everyone's paying attention to Nigeria, this is being passed in other countries. So Nigeria's parliament just signed and passed this bill. It's waiting for the president to sign.
And pretty much the
Zambia.
Same as the Uganda's?
Yeah.
Does it include the death provision?
Not death penalty.
So the death provision did get removed from the Uganda one, right?
No.
That's what I read recently. That's not true?
No. Well, it's foggy sort of reporting on that.
Okay.
The bill really hasn't been altered. It's just lingering there. It'll probably linger there forever.
But in Nigeria, it's waiting for the president's signature.
Yeah, Nigeria. I just did a screening tour of the film through Africa. I did 12 cities in Africa. And Nigeria, the LGBT community there is just desperate. They have no support and help, and they're just in bad shape, and they're terrified.
Right. How can people find out more about this if they want to, help in some way?
Then go to our website, godlivesuganda.com. Public Research Associates also has a lot of stuff on their website, but our website you can also write to us through our website. We have viewing guides that give you a ton of information about how you can get involved, how you can help, and just if you want to know more.
Mm-hmm. I said I was asking you about your projects, and I got back to God Loves Uganda again because it's so current, but. And you're going to be at a couple of the screenings this weekend, is that right?
Yes, I'm going to be at the screen 8:45 screening tomorrow and Friday night. Opening night, come out. It's really important that we get good numbers tomorrow. And I'll be Saturday at the 6:45 and 8:45 screenings.
And those are both in the San Francisco Roxy screenings, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be in Berkeley at all? Make it across the bay?
I'm not going to make it across the bay this trip.
Okay. It's lovely. It's lovely over there. Let's see. I think that brings us to the close. I want to thank you so much for being here. I know you've got a busy schedule and been the end of a long tour. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I want to thank my guest, Roger Ross Williams, the Academy Award-winning producer and director of God Loves Uganda. It's opening tomorrow. That's Friday night at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco and also at the Elmwood in Berkeley. It'll be there for at least a week, and depending on how it goes. Oh, and quickly, I do want to remember that next Thursday, just one showing only, at Call Me Kuchu is going to be there. That's the documentary about which won a Frameline Award for Best Audience Feature, I think, last year, about David Kato, who was outspoken gay activist who was killed there in 2011, I think. If you missed part of this broadcast, first of all, let me give the website. Learn more at godlovesuganda.com, godlovesuganda.com. If you missed part of this broadcast, you can hear the whole thing on our website, outinthebay.org, by about 8 o'clock tonight, where you can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app to let you hear radio programs on mobile devices. You can also hear our most recent shows on the site and about a dozen of our favorites from our 9 years on the air, including interviews with John Waters, Ang Lee, Leslie Gore, Matthew Shepard's mother, Judy Shepard, and a feature on Liberace among them. Check it out. Out of the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KALW for studio use and airtime, and tonight's engineer, Joanne Marr. And as an independent production, we need to let you know that Out on the Bay receives no funds from KALW, so we need community support. It's easy and tax deductible on our website, outinthebay.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead. Learn more about Holly on her blog, hollymead.tumblr.com. Out on the Bay is supported in part by the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, providing legal referrals in over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org/LRIS or by phone at 415-989-1616. That's sfbar.org/LRIS, 415-989-1616. We'd love to hear from you. So write to us, eric@outinthebay.com and marilyn@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.